God, smash the Jews, break them in the dust again. And that will happen, folks. Yahshua will come with his mighty angels, and he will thrash them. Like the wheat, the tares and on the threshing floor.
And I'll be an officer in the hillbilly remnant. I'll be out there with my baseball bat.
Right? Right? This is going to be live. It's not going to be a movie, folks. It's going to be the real deal.
Hey, y'all, this is how we do it down south.
Right?
Whop!
All right.
Home run.
Hey.
Home run.
If the Jews can make movies about bashing in heads of Nazis, we can tell stories about bashing in the heads of Jews, right? It's artistic license, folks. Artistic license. But, and they deserve it, too, because they have, how should I put it, genocided up to 200 million of our people.
Reap what you sow.
That's right, and they're going to be sowing it real soon. All right, we're waiting for Pastor Greg to call in. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's Covenant people. And tonight we're going to start a series on 2 Esdras, which is in the Apocrypha. And Pastor Steve has an online version. Actually, let me put that in the chat room real quick so people can follow along. And this Apocrypha, it's called the Sacred Texts. I'm going to copy and paste here into the chat room. Okay, and we will soon have a Skype chat for people that we invite to comment and so we'll have these two chats available to us on future shows. All right, Greg is telling me that he is with us, so let me go ahead here and drag him in. Okay, here we go. Oh, what the heck?
Yeah, drag him in.
Yeah, right.
Kicking and drag him on in.
Oh, you know what? I think we had this problem once before. He's going to have to call in because there's only... let me see if this works. No, he's going to have to call in. For some reason, Skype only gives us one opportunity. Once you're live to bring somebody in. Okay. Giving him a message to call me. Because this happened before that when you first call a person, if he's not there, then it won't allow you to do it again. You have to disconnect the call and start all over again. So,
well, I also have my written version of 2 Esdras.
Oh, okay.
I have a New Revised Standard Version.
Oh, okay. And we'll find out what version Greg has. And so we'll be comparing all of these. All right, let's see if this works. I may have to start this all over again. Okay. All right, Greg?
Eli, can you hear me okay?
Okay. All right, the call disconnected. So I'm going to have to start all over again. Okay? So I'm going to hang up and call you both. Okay?
Okay.
All right, bye. All right, folks, we'll try this again. Here we go. All right, this is not working. I'm going to have to cancel this phone, too. All right, now let's try it again. Okay, Greg, are you there?
I'm there, brother. Am I coming in all right with good audio?
Everything as if we. Hello.
Yep. Greg, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Now I got to drag Pastor Steve in. For some reason, the Skype only gives you one opportunity. Okay. All right. Pastor Steve, are you there?
I are here.
Okay. All right. So I had to disconnect because it only gives you one live opportunity to drag everybody in. And so we missed out on the first attempt. All right, so, Greg, we were just talking about, I'm going to be using the new Cambridge Paragraph Bible. for its version of the book of 2nd Esdras. And Pastor Steve has an online version and possibly also another version. And Greg, what version?
Yeah, I've got a New Revised Standard Version.
Okay.
NSRV.
Okay.
And it's got all the Apocrypha and everything in it, too. So I've got it open to 2nd Esdras. Yeah. So I have two in front of me.
Right. Okay, very good. And Greg, what version do you have?
Well, brothers, I have the Revised Standard Version of 2nd Esdras, which I have found to be, I'm not sure why, but I just found it to be the perfect translation. And this is yet another amazing book that never made it into our so-called Bible. And, you know, it's hard for me to disparage the term Bible, but the more I look at that term Bible, the more I realize the Bible is for the Judeo-Christianity. And these apocryphal books are for the elect. And right. That's how I look at it.
Yes.
I suspect highly that my New Revised Standard Version and your Revised Standard Version are virtually identical.
I think so too, Steve.
Might be some changes.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time, the Revised Standard Version of the Bible was looked upon as a relatively, quote-unquote, liberal version of the Bible. But for some reason, the Revised Standard Version of 2nd Esdras is just an incredible, and it's available free online. You just go 2nd Esdras, also known as 4 Esdras. And I'm not quite sure why one is called 2, one is called 4. But if you go 2nd Esdras, RSV, and you'll pull up this translation. You can download it free online. That's what I did. And I've got all my notes from years of studying and cross-references. And this book is one of the most incredible books ever given to us, and yet it's not even in the Bible. Most so-called Judeo-Christians would have never heard of it. And it's another hidden book for the elect at the end of the days. And here we are yet again.
Yeah. I'm pretty
sure this Bible that I've got, they called it the Catholic Bible.
Okay.
But it's not. It's not. I find their interpretations to be pretty doggone enlightening, and the chapter notes in the old paperback version I've got are incredible. All the references.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah.
Because the version I have has no notes, so you actually have notes in your version.
Oh, yeah. I brought this home from prison with me.
Okay.
I got it in prison.
So
Brother Steve, we got to hook up in person one of these days. You have stories to tell.
Come the Feast of Tabernacles.
Eli clearly has stories to tell.
Yeah, too many.
Yeah, but you can't believe them.
old wives' tales and fish tales.
Oh, man.
You know, Eli's dogs almost tore me apart the first time I met this brother in Chicago.
We're going to have
two dogs.
So much fun.
Yeah. Well, here, gentlemen, let me just do a real quick intro to the subject matter here. And, of course, Greg and I had done a very thorough study of 2nd Esdras on TalkShoe a few years back. But with the addition of Pastor Steve and just the fact that every time I read any book of the Bible another time, I just learn more.
And exactly.
I nailed it, brother. Yeah.
And these are such special books.
If you were to ask me what percentage we got out of it the first time, if I'm going to brag,
I'd say we maybe got 10% out of it. There's 90% we didn't touch.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's
plenty left.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. The following book is included in the Slavonic Bible as 3 Esdras. But is not found in the Greek. It is included in the appendix to the Latin Vulgate Bible as 4 Esdras.
Okay. So different people have different renderings of the title.
I view it as 4 Esdras, not 2 Esdras.
Okay.
But, you know, what's it matter? It's a book written by one of the great prophetic writers that was purposely or sovereignly left out of the so-called 66-book Bible.
Right. Well,
yet another book for the elect at the end time. And who are the elect? The elect are the enlightened white race on the planet. That's who the elect are. No one else.
I don't have a list of the exact number of apocryphal books, but I'm pretty sure this was, I think it's 14 altogether, that were included in the 1611 King James Version. Okay.
Yep.
So those really are part of the Bible. And everybody should understand
brother, there's
that.
There's no doubt this book is also scripture.
Oh,
as we define scripture.
Yeah.
But it was left out of the Bible, and it was not intended for the Judeo-Christian masses at the end of the age.
Right.
Let them have John 3:16 and dedicate themselves to saving all the dark races.
Right.
These books are not for those unenlightened creatures that will be in for the shock of their life.
Right.
When they stand before Yahshua Christ and he says, I don't know what you guys were doing. I never knew you.
Right.
Depart from me, worker of lawlessness. You know?
Yes.
They are just wasting their life.
Yes, they are.
I feel sad for them.
Yeah, me too.
I feel sad for them. You know, yeah. I don't gloat that we know anything more than them. I give thanks that I was shown anything over and above them. Who am I? Who are any of us? You know, I mean,
yeah, we're just trying to decipher the word.
Mercy to the elect is limitless.
Yes.
That's all I know.
Yeah. So, and just further, in terms of what books or chapters we're going to study, since the 2-3 chapters on the vision of the kings of Europe, the double-headed eagle, since that one is so complicated, I think we'll skip that for this series. And we did a very thorough study of that previously. And then, you know, I'll just give people links to that so they can study that and listen to.
I'm not sure we got to skip. Brother, if we're going to get into this book, I don't know that we can skip that because that's the central vision of
all
this
right.
book. Although there's multiple other visions.
Yeah. Okay, well,
I mean,
then
I
be prepared to do 3 years.
That was Steve on board. We got to go through it again.
You're not going to discriminate, are you, and forget all the visions of the Kangs of Africa?
Right?
The Kangs.
We was Kangs.
Yeah. We was Kangs. The white man stole all our genius and technology. Right. We used to rule the world, but now we just live in ghettos.
Yeah, we invented peanut butter.
Right.
Yeah, an elephant stepped on my peanuts.
Hey, what's wrong with peanut butter and jelly?
Why is it all gooey, Dan? Oh,
yeah,
wow, if you crush it, it's gooey and it tastes okay. Yeah, a Negro invented peanut butter.
Yeah.
So we're told, you know?
Well, yeah, we're making fun of
the
black Hebrew.
Creativity.
We're making fun of the black Hebrew movement that they claim to have written the Bible.
Hebrew.
And all
that. Hebrew.
Right. Okay. All right. So, well, if we're going to do. If we're going to do the two-headed eagle, that's going to take several episodes. So I think.
Brother,
we may...
not to correct you, it's the three-headed eagle.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a while. The three-headed eagle.
On the eagle.
And so I think what we'll do is we'll separate this into categories because be prepared to go a year or two on Second Esdras. That's how deep this book is.
I think it took us a year to get through it the first time.
Right, right. And it will again, and maybe more because we have Pastor Steve's commentary, and I think we know more. We know more about the subject than we did before. Okay? So everybody get ready. People get ready. Okay? So
people
get
ready.
So I think what I'll do
coming.
Is... I'll title these shows according to the chapter. So... today's show will be 2 Esdras chapter 1. Okay?
Yeah, call it the intro to an incredible book.
Right.
And by the way, you know what's interesting is that R.H. Charles, when he translated the book of the Apocalypse of Baruch, and we're going to go through this, and I will put this on myself, he included in the back of his translation a concordance that correlated verses with 2 Esdras, because they were contemporaries. And Eli, the first time we went through this book, we established the chronology of Ezra at approximately 450 B.C.,
mm-hmm.
right around the same time as Jeremiah and the same time as Baruch. And they have amazing correlation, and Charles recognized it and put an actual concordance in the back of his translation
nice.
Of the Apocalypse of Baruch. And we didn't so much get into it when we went through Baruch, but we're going to get into it as we go through Esdras. Because you have to, because the two, they were contemporary prophets. And,
yes.
And Charles saw enough to put an actual concordance in the back of his book. So I'm going to put it on me. If you have the R.H. Charles translation of the Apocalypse of Baruch in the back as a concordance that
okay.
correlates that book with Second Esdras. And the correlations are amazing.
Very good.
They're incredibly
okay.
good.
And it just occurred to me, since we've got three different versions, why don't we just take turns reading paragraphs? Now, I don't know if your version is divided into paragraphs. Mine is, and again, for people who might have just tuned in, this is the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible with Apocrypha. And the Second Esdras starts on page 1281. This is a pretty thick Bible. And let me start with the first paragraph, which is basically just a setting of the scene. And then whoever wants to go with the second paragraph, take it over. But I'll just start here.
I've got a lot to say on the first paragraph, so
okay.
go ahead and read. And then
I'll just read it. It's basically the son of the son of the son of the son of, and you know where we're at. The second book of the prophet Esdras, the son of Sarias, the son of Azarias, the son of Helkias, the son of Sadamias, the son of Sadak, the son of Achitob, the son of Achias,
Achitob,
the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the son of Amarias, the son of Azai, the son of Meramoth, the son of Arna, the son of Ozias, the son of Borith, the son of Abisai, the son of Phinehas, there's two Phinehases in there, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, of the tribe of Levi, which was captive in the land of the Medes in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of the Persians. Okay?
Brother,
so it gives
brother,
his genealogy.
Right there.
Back to you.
Let me just jump in. You know, when I was a young Bible student and a studying Baptist preacher, and we got into genealogies, and we just blew right through them, and I thought, man, what boring stuff. Why does all this genealogy stuff matter? But once I understood race and Christian identity and who in the hell the white people were on the planet, you know what all these genealogies say to me now?
Yes.
This is the resume of a white man. This is basically a small snippet clipped out of the Book of Life. The Book of Life is essentially your heritage traced back to Adam to when you were born, establishing your racial purity. That's what Ezra is doing here. He was going, let me tell you who my ancestors are. You want to hear what I have to say? Well, let me just establish right up front that I'm a pure-blooded white man, traceable back to Aaron,
Amen.
To the tribe of Levi. I was a son of Jacob through Abraham, back to Adam.
Yes.
Yahweh was my father. Race matters.
Yes, it does.
And I go absolutely, I have to subdue myself. I go
you're,
out of my mind.
You were going to say ape blank. I know.
I go out of my mind when race is downplayed in this world.
Right.
When in the handful of people that understand what's going on, race is emphasized.
Yes.
Race is everything. Christianity is race.
That's right.
Christianity is what race were you born into? There's none of this born again nonsense. If you were born from above, that means you were born into the divine, holy race of Yahweh's white children.
Amen.
All the other races are literally worthless and meaningless. Whatever their fate is, we can sit down over a glass of something and debate it. The only race that matters on this planet is the white race, the Caucasian, Northern European-derived races that have been spread across this globe. And Ezra is proclaiming his heritage here.
Yes, absolutely.
He's just basically saying, here's where I come from. I'm a white man.
What he is doing is reciting his pedigree.
Yes,
and all Israelites used to keep birth records.
Absolutely,
and we
brother.
Did it in this country, in the family Bibles, they were all, and that has fallen away.
It's not so much fallen away as been taken away from us. by you-know-who. It starts with J. Mm-hmm. The concept of heritage has been erased. We're the human race now. The missionaries must be sent to save all the Negroes. Jesus died for all those little crocodile-worshipping Negroes and the cannibals. They all have to have the Bible translated into their bizarre Negro gibberish over there in Africa. You got to give up your sons and daughters who couldn't spend their life any better than to save those worthless black savages. This is what the satanic seed line has done to our people and our thinking, and they have destroyed us. Somehow there's a handful of us.
One of the biggest lies they have perpetrated is that blacks are people.
Exactly. They're zoo animals.
Now some of them as individuals can be pleasant.
I agree. And I've known a few.
But when you get them together in a group, they revert to type instantaneously.
Almost instantaneously.
And then you are the outsider, being a Caucasian, and they all be bros. And they're serious. Now, they may fight among themselves and kill among themselves, but you throw a white man in a group, and both sides are going to attack the white man.
That's right.
Yeah, if it's a white woman, they'll gang rape her. If it's a white man, they'll kill him.
What the naive liberal white people don't realize. And they're going to learn a hard lesson when they try to associate with these people. They're going to snap on them, and the liberals going to get wasted. Ain't
hey, gentlemen.
A shame. Boo-hoo-hoo.
Let me lay some truth on you, bros. Whenever these white people like the Judeos and the liberals talk about, you know, equality of blacks, I guarantee you none of them have ever lived with blacks. Many of them have never even met with blacks or talked with blacks.
They won't sell their home in the white neighborhood and move into the ghetto, will they?
Right. No, those liberals won't live with blacks. I guarantee you that. It's all hypocrisy, folks. Total hypocrisy.
Brothers, I have many notes written in my book of Second Esdras from the first time we went through it. Let me read you the note that I wrote to myself after Ezra gave us his genealogy.
Pedigree,
here.
Yes.
I have Ezra, a Levitical priest, traces his generations back 20 generations. Who among us could trace our ancestors back 20 generations? Our identity has been stolen from us. 20 generations. Who could do this today? We have lost our ancestry due to Jewry's treachery. Ezra was able to trace his ancestors back 20 generations.
I doubt seriously that many could do it 5 generations.
Exactly. Why is that? With all the technology and the, you know, ancestry.com, we should be able to trace our ancestry back for 1,000 years.
Well, I had all of mine in my house when the feds came and blew my house up, and they destroyed all of that. They destroyed all the pictures of my family and stole my coin collection, my mother's diamond ring, and threw all my Bibles and Bible study stuff into the trash.
Sorry to hear that, brother.
Well, they did that in prison. They kept taking my Bibles, and I had to keep duplicate copies because they would trash all my religious studies.
Yeah,
they are Antichrist.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Steve had to send a lot of that stuff to me so it wouldn't get trashed.
Yeah, right, safekeeping.
Exactly.
I kept mailing and mailing and mailing.
Yeah.
And Eli has preserved a lot of my writings. And now I've got them computerized. When we bought, how many boxes of stuff that I had sent you from prison did you bring when I first moved in here, Eli?
Five or six. Yeah, right. Five or six. Yeah,
big
heavy boxes
just full of writings.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the only way to preserve it, because those creatures, and not just black officers of the prisons, but white officers of the prisons.
Oh, they were some of the worst.
Destroy it. Yeah. Yeah. So,
brothers,
they hate and they fear the teachings of Christian identity. That's the bottom line. Okay, back to you guys. Back to you.
Well, brother, Ezra here is going back 20 generations. He has given us his bona fides as to who he is. He is tracing himself back literally to the tribe of Levi, son of Aaron, the tribe of Levi. He's of the Levitical priesthood. He is a called priest of Yahweh.
Amen.
And he has established himself going back 20 generations.
Yes.
This is how all of our race should be. This, to me, is, to me, the book of life. When the book of life is opened, I am 100% certain that the book of life is nothing more than the genealogy of who you are traced back to Adam. You are either a pure-blooded white person or you are not, and the book of life will establish that. So when I see these genealogies, to me, they're just a page or two out of the book of life. You know?
Yeah, that is the method to separate the wheat from the tares.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be the greatest so-called Christian on the planet. How pure is your bloodline? Are you pure back to Adam? You know, I believe that Ezra probably could have traced his bloodline back to Adam, but he goes, hey, I'm taking it back to Levi. That's good enough for what I'm doing here. Yes. I'm going back 20 generations. I'm born from Levi. You know, I'm a pure-blooded white man. And today the topic of race is verboten. It is not allowed to be brought up in social circles. That's why I always bring it up when I'm in social circles. I just want to throw out a little. I like to fish. Eli, you were here. I took you fishing. I like to fish. I like to throw a line in the water and see what bites. And when I'm in a social setting, sometimes I'll say something like, has anyone here ever noticed that like 99% of the crime in this city is committed by blacks? Anyone else ever see that? And I'll just be quiet. And I'll look around. All the girls are freaking out. You know, they're all ready to spread their legs and sleep with a black to prove they're not a racist. But I'll look around for an open-minded white man that maybe is like nodding his head and going, wow, you know, I've seen that, Greg.
Yeah.
I've noticed that every home invasion, every carjacking, every bank robbery, it all seems to be blacks. You know,
yeah.
I've been afraid to say it, but yeah, I find myself in agreement with you.
You'd be racist. To say that.
It's rare to find that individual.
Right. But speaking of genealogies, I like to interject here because I get this question so often about Paul criticizing these endless genealogies in 1 Timothy 1:4 and Titus 3:9. Okay, so just to get this out of the way. In those passages, Paul is not talking about Israelite genealogies. He's addressing the Israelites in dispersion among the Greeks. And what he's saying to them is don't buy into these genealogies of the Greeks and their they claim to be descendants of the gods. That's what Paul is talking about here, because our ancestors of the dispersed tribes began adopting these genealogies of the Greeks, okay? So, and these are what Paul is criticizing. He's not criticizing the literal genealogies of the Old Testament or New Testament.
Yeah, no way.
Okay. And also, he said physical exercise is of no benefit, because what they were doing was buying into the Greek games, all the decathlons and all of that, the Olympic stuff, which is pagan, and they were going into that and training for all these things and worshiping their bodies. They were body worshipers.
Yes.
People don't read history.
No.
And history is tied to the scriptures. You know, study to show yourself approved, not just the Bible, but all related literature.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, brothers, these books, the fact that we are getting into these amazing, incredible books, I don't even know what to think about it. I don't even know why I'm here with you, brothers. I mean, I am literally nobody, honestly.
Well, who is anybody?
I know.
Yeah. Honestly.
I tell myself that.
Honestly, who is anybody?
I know. Yeah. I'm nobody. But yet,
the big Jew in the bank.
I don't know why.
Right.
I have no idea why.
Yeah, the Pharisees love to sit at the head of the table, right? Yeah. No, we're just average guys that happen to, but, you know, Yahweh selected us, to do these things, to do these studies, these Bible studies.
He has moved placed us as soldiers on the front line of this war. And right. if anybody doesn't believe we're at war, you've got the ostrich syndrome. You've got your head stuck down in the sand.
Yes.
We are absolutely. We're not only at war, we're getting our asses kicked.
Right?
Well, we got all these promises that we're going to win. But if you take a look at the current, you know, battle situation, we're not doing that well, honestly.
No.
But yet, I fully believe in our victory. I have zero doubt. But it's clearly not going to come from our effort.
No. Well, we're the special forces that Yahweh has sent out.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going in behind the enemy lines and doing demo jobs.
Yeah. we got expendable here.
We got the sword of the Lord. We got the sword of the Lord, folks. Thank you.
That's
right. Let me just give you
a
couple of quotes.
I'm excited about getting into this book again of 2 Ezra, Eli. I feel we didn't even scratch the surface of it last time, and we didn't have Steve and his insights last time. And there's so much in Ezra's. And by the way, when we get through with this book, I think our next book is we got to go back into the writings of Enoch. But we're going to be in this book for a while.
Yeah.
This book will take a while.
Right. That suits me.
This book will take months to go through, I think. This is a lot of action here.
Yeah, I want to quote here from Vine's Expository Dictionary. That these genealogies are Gnostic genealogies that Paul is criticizing. Yeah. And these are the orders of aeons and spirits. Amongst the Greeks as well as other nations, mythological stories gathered around the birth and genealogy of their heroes, namely their gods. Okay. And clearly these are not the biblical genealogies Paul was speaking of. Josephus, this is still Vine's Expository Dictionary, appeals to the priestly register. No, okay. Josephus appeals to the priestly registers and is proud of the royal descent of his mother. He shows that even the priests residing in Egypt had their sons registered authentically in Jerusalem so as to safeguard their priestly prerogatives. Okay, this is from the Catholic Encyclopedia. So it shows there's real genealogies of the Israelites and there's phony genealogies of the Greek aeons and spirits. One more. As for the Gnostics, these were genealogies, again, of spirits and aeons, as they call them, lists of Gnostic emanations, okay? Endless refers to the tedious unprofitableness of their lengthy genealogies. This is from www.britishisrael.ca, answers.htm, okay? So, Paul is not talking about Israelite genealogies in these two books. He is talking about the Gnostic and Greek, you know, gods and goddesses that our people had begun to assume that they were descended from. That's what we're talking about there. Okay?
All right. Flash forward to the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah.
Okay.
Nehemiah, where they had the priest class taking foreign, in other words, read racially alien wives and children, and they had to set them aside.
Right.
Well, what they don't tell you in those books is some of the priests didn't do it.
Hmm.
They snuck around and did an end run around it. And what was the situation during Yeshua Messiah's time? They were Edomites. They were mixed blood in the Levitical priesthood. They were no longer pure Israelites. And that is why he took away the priesthood of Levi and gave it to the order of Melchizedek because they were a bunch of mamzers.
Right. Well, there were some
posing as Levitical priests. They had killed all the sons of Aharon and substituted Edomites.
Yeah, which Esdras is. He's a son of Aaron. Okay.
That's son of Aharon of the tribe of Levi.
And I would put it this way, Pastor Steve. In the days of Yahshua Messiah, the Pharisees and other Edomites had taken over the priesthood and the rulership of the land of Judah. And as I think you just mentioned, they had assassinated the entire pure-blooded seed line of priests and replaced them with Edomites. And Herod had assassinated every last pure-blooded Judahite king, and he established a brief dynasty of his own. He was, in fact, a full-blooded Edomite, and his sons were half-breed Edomite, and so because they married into the Judahite. They married Judahite women, put it that way. Okay? So none of those are legitimate.
And the very sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah himself rendered unnecessary the Levitical priesthood, which was a sacrificial class of priests. Right. No more sacrifice was necessary, and that temple would be destroyed, which it was, by the Roman legions, and they even plowed it. And the next temple is not going to be built by the Jews. They may build a structure, but the final temple and New Jerusalem itself will come down from the heavens with Yeshua Messiah when he comes to take vengeance in flaming fire on those who do not know Elohim. That's coming, folks.
Yeah, does Yahweh say to Edom? You shall build, but I shall tear down.
Amen and amen, brother. Amen.
All right. Okay, who wants to take the second paragraph?
I'll take it here.
Okay.
So we've just gone through Ezra's amazing 20-generation.
Yes,
I counted
genealogy.
Them out.
Seed line.
20-generation tracing back his white genealogy, establishing himself as a priest directly with the tribe of Levi. And he goes, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, go and declare to my people their evil deeds, and to their children the iniquities which they have committed against me, so that they may tell their children's children that the sins of their parents have increased in them, for they have forgotten me and have offered sacrifices to strange gods. Is this not what's going on exactly today, Eli and Steve?
Praise the Lord!
You look at Judeo-Christianity. It's basically an offering to a strange god. It's not worshiping Yahweh in any way whatsoever.
God from Gad, the god of luck.
Yeah. The very term God is a false name.
Yeah, it's pagan name. It comes from Gad. Same way church comes from Circe, and it's Kirk in the Scottish.
Yeah.
That god has never done me any good.
Captain Kirk.
Was it not I who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage? But they have angered me and despised my counsels. Pull out the hair of your head and hurl all evils upon them, for they have not obeyed my law. They are a rebellious people.
And it's not speaking of the Jews. This is speaking of our Israelite ancestors.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He's talking to our people here, our race. How long shall I endure them on whom I have bestowed such great benefits?
Yes.
For their sake I have overthrown many kings. I struck down Pharaoh with his servants and all his army. I have destroyed all nations before them and scattered in the east the people of two provinces, Tyre and Sidon. I have slain all their enemies, but speak to them and say, thus saith Yahweh, surely it was I who brought you through the sea and made safe highways for you where there was no road. I gave you Moses as leader and Aaron as priest. I provided light for you from a pillar of fire and did great wonders among you, yet you have forgotten me, says Yahweh. Thus says the Lord Almighty, and I'm going to assume in the original language that is probably saying Yahweh.
Yeah, sure.
No, that is El Shaddai.
Is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Almighty Lord, El Shaddai.
The quails were assigned to you. I gave you camps for your protection, and in them you complained. This is our people.
Mm-hmm. Still complaining.
We are, you know, if it wasn't for the mercy of Moses, no wonder Moses had to intervene for us on multiple occasions when Yahweh wanted to wipe us all out and start over. Yeah. And Moses talked him out of it.
Right.
You know, or interceded, yeah. However you want to play it out.
Right. Well, we wouldn't be here if Moses didn't talk him out of it, right?
Absolutely. Right. Yahweh was ready to wipe the slate clean and start over.
Yeah.
And yep. Moses, the great intercessor, prevented him.
Mm-hmm.
I love Moses.
Yeah.
Moses was amazing.
So isn't this nothing else but an homage to our heritage? Even, you know, the good and the bad. You know, this is what's great about the Bible. It doesn't gloss over the bad stuff. It doesn't sweep it under the rug like other people's histories do, like the Jews do. They never do anything wrong. Well, I mean, how is it that the Bible is always telling us of Israel's wrongdoings, and yet the Jews claim they have never done anything wrong? What's wrong here? What's wrong with this picture? Isn't this proof that the Jews aren't Israel? That they should be admitting their
Absolutely.
Sins to Yahweh, but they don't.
You know, let me read verse 16, and we need to talk about this verse for a minute.
Yeah, I have comments on it also.
He goes, "You have not exulted in my name at the destruction of your enemies, but to this day you still complain."
And here's another version. "Your pursuer with his army I sank in the sea, but still the people complain also concerning their own destruction." That's a different version of it.
Well, you know, whatever, verse 16, where he goes, "You have not exulted in my name." And brother, I got a degree in the Bible, and no, I never heard the name of Yahweh a single time in
right.
4 years of Bible instruction. No one ever said, "By the way, the God we worship, his name actually happens to be Yahweh, not God or Lord."
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, that would have been worth 4 years of study if someone would have just said that to me.
Yeah.
Wow, you mean he's got a name?
Yeah.
What is it again? Yahweh. Ah, right. Thank you. What a revelation that was.
Yes.
The one I love has a name. Why wouldn't he have a name? Of course he would have a name.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus 3:15. Moses asked, "What name shall I tell the Israelites that you go by?" He said, "I am that I am, Yahweh."
Mm-hmm.
That's his name. That's what the Bible says. Why the theologians ignore that, I cannot explain.
Hayah Asher Hayah.
You want to make a
Judeo-Christian? I am what I am, or I will be whatever I please. Well, he manifested himself as a burning bush, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, avenging angels, and eventually manifested himself as Yahshua Messiah, Yahweh in the flesh.
Yeah, he can do all that.
Yep.
That's my basic question to any Judeo-Christian I run into when I try to share something with them and they get all self-righteous and whatever. I go, "You really feel you're a strong Christian?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." "Oh, what's the name of the God you worship?" And invariably, no one yet has been able to come up with the right answer.
Right.
I go, "What is his name?" "He's the Lord." I go, "No, that's a title." "He's God." No, that's really
that's another title.
A poor translation. "He has a name." Over 8,000 times in the Old Testament, there was a Hebrew word for it that was mistranslated. "Do you actually know the name of the very God that you think you worship?" And then I see them start to get very uncomfortable. And that's when I press hard.
It says in Scripture, "What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know it?" Even before Yeshua was born, that question is asked.
All right. Isaiah asked that question, right?
Yeah.
And what's the answer?
Answer Yahshua is his name is Yahweh.
Amen.
His name is Yahweh.
And his son's
name
is Yeshua.
This is my name and my memorial for all generations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And since we're brothers, that's the
great sign to me. Forget everything else. The great sign to me that Christian identity is the true Christian faith on the earth today is that we worship the name of Yahweh.
Yes.
We know his name. We love his name. We're not afraid to say it. We don't go G-D like the wretched satanic seed line.
Right.
We love the name of Yahweh. We are his people.
They don't even pronounce the word God. Right? They don't even pronounce the word God, let alone Yahweh.
Yeah. Because right? It scares them.
Yeah.
It's not out of reverence. It's out of right. fear.
Well,
they're scared to death
yeah,
to say
I think,
that
Greg, there's more to it than that. They don't want us. They don't want anybody else to know the sacred names because they don't want us to use them. Because they know,
you know, brothers,
there's power
yeah,
in those words.
The older I get, the more obnoxious I become. Whenever I'm around a Jew,
yeah, right.
I know someone around me is a Jew, and I yeah. say for whatever social reason I'm talking
you
with
start
them.
Start spitting and hissing and growling.
No, you know what I'll do? I will find a way to say the name Yahweh. To
yeah,
them.
There you go. All right.
And I like that. It's like you set their pants on fire. They get an early taste.
Liar,
of
liar, pants
boom.
On fire.
You know, and I'll go, you know, you guys, you Jews claim to be the people of God. Do you know his name is Yahweh? And I'm telling you to this day, every time I say that name to a Jew, it's like you put a bucket of fire ants yeah. down their pants. They go
right.
crazy. It,
right.
Do it.
Yeah, you're not
sometimes.
Supposed to know
you're
that.
Around a Jew, say yeah. Yahweh. Watch him. Yeah. Watch them go crazy. It's like you fire their pants up.
Right. The Goyim aren't supposed to know that. And since we're on the subject, because there's always new people listening, the English word Jesus is not really a good translation. It's not a translation of
right.
the Hebrew word Yahshua. It's a transliteration, which is to put in Greek sounds what the sounds of the Hebrew and or Aramaic, you know, Yahshua, or Yeshua in the Aramaic. So a transliteration is simply an attempt to duplicate the sound of the original word. It loses the meaning entirely. So the English word Jesus does not convey any meaning that the Hebrew or Aramaic contain. Pastor Steve, you want to enlighten people on that?
Well, Jesus, he's not of Zeus, healing Zeus.
Right.
yeah. He is Yah-Shua, two names put together. Yah, the epithet for Yahweh, and Shua, the word for salvation. Yah is salvation. All through the Old Testament, Yahweh says, I am your Redeemer. I am your salvation. So when he became flesh, the word became flesh. In other words, Yahweh, the word, mm-hmm. became flesh in the flesh of a man. He manifested himself in the flesh of yeah. an infant that was named Yahshua. Yahweh is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The same way Joshua in the Old Testament, his name was Yahshua.
Also, yes.
And he is salvation and hope for Israel, because he said, I came not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The original New Testament was written in Hebrew to the Hebrew people. The copies crumbled through age. We don't have any copies except fragments extant at this time. They copied it into the Greek, then they copied it into Latin, then they copied it into English and whatever else.
Yeah.
So a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, and the translators were following the Jewish tradition that says the name is too holy to pronounce. So they substituted Adonai, which means Lord, the Lord. Well, Baal also means Lord.
Right.
That's right.
That's a hidden thing that they don't tell you. So it's not the Lord, it's Yahweh, and it's
amen.
Not Jesus, it's Yahshua.
Yeah,
pardon
amen.
my hillbillyisms here, y'all.
Yes, sir. So essentially the word Jesus has no meaning.
None.
Because it doesn't convey the meaning of either the Greek or the Hebrew. It simply
correct.
Does not. Okay? So
this
is why.
Name.
This is why
it's
we...
like that old thing from the Jewish movie. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Right. I know what that means.
yeah. It
yeah.
means danger, right. Jews so, ahead.
So anybody who questions why we use the sacred names, that's the reason why. Because the English word Jesus doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't convey any meaning. It doesn't.
And if you pray in the name of the Lord, your prayers will not be heard.
Yeah, you want to pray in the name of Yahweh or
you're
Yahshua.
Praying in vain, as Yahshua said. You worship in vain.
Yes.
You worship on the day of the sun god, and you worship the Lord. What
yes.
Lord? Who's Lord? Well, I worship
right.
God.
Yeah.
What God?
All right, Pastor Steve, with about 9 minutes left, do you want to pick it up from verse 17?
All right, I'll read from this written Bible that I've got here. Where are the benefits that I bestowed upon you? When you were hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, did you not cry out to me, saying, why have you led us into this wilderness to kill us? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians and to die in this wilderness. Verse 19, I pitied your groanings and gave you man, not manna. They mistranslated that. They added another N and an A.
Okay.
It is mon with an A sound, not
okay.
man, mon. Mon for food. You ate the bread of divine messengers, not angels. Okay. Verse 20, when you were thirsty, did I not split the rock so that the waters flowed in abundance? Because of the heat, I clothed you with the leaves of trees. In other words, they could rest under trees.
Right.
I divided fertile lands among you. I drove out the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Philistines before you. Now, I'm not going to give the biblical names for all of them. It's irrelevant
sure.
at this point. What more can I do for you, says Yahweh? Thus says El Shaddai, the Lord
you
Almighty.
You ingrate Israelites, right? You ingrate Israelites.
Thus says El Shaddai, they have the Lord Almighty. That is, mm-hmm. no. Some versions don't have that, but this one does. When you were in the wilderness at the bitter stream, okay, thirsty and blaspheming my name, I did not send fire on you for your blasphemies, but threw a tree into the water and made the stream sweet. They changed the chemical composition
mm-hmm.
That's right.
of the stream when Moshe threw the tree into the waters at Meribah.
Very interesting.
Okay.
Please continue.
Science in the Bible. Verse 24. What shall I do to you, O Jacob? You, Yehuda, I'm going to use the biblical names, Judah, would not obey me. I will turn to other nations and will give them my name so that they may keep my statutes. Because you have forsaken me, I also will forsake you. This is the threat he's making.
Yes.
When you beg mercy of me, I will show you no mercy. When you call to me, I will not listen to you, for you have defiled your hands with blood, not sacrifices to pagan idols.
Right.
And your feet are swift to commit murder. They would kill their own children.
Yes.
For Moloch, it is not as though you had forsaken me. You have forsaken yourselves, says Yahweh. Verse
okay.
28. Or you want me to stop?
Well, I'd say, yeah, this is really, you know, Yahweh is really angry with his people Israel because of all of these.
We're in dispersion today because of that, and we're continuing in our apostasy.
That's right.
In general, there is a remnant that is coming out of them. That be us.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them in Judeo-Christianity are observing pagan holidays.
Right. Yes.
Christmas trees, Easter bunnies, egg hunts.
Right.
eating the Christmas ham, on and on and on and on, saving Negroes, letting their daughters marry Negroes.
Right.
It's endless.
Well,
it's endless.
But the essence.
Everybody in church, sit down in the pew next to your favorite tranny.
When it's obvious that all these verses are written exclusively to Jacob, Israel, and no other people.
No doubt. Totally exclusive.
The entire Bible from beginning to end is written exclusively to Jacob, Israel, and no other people. Tangentially, other people come in. The so-called Gentiles, but that's really nations. Okay? With about 3 minutes left, where he says in verse 24, "What shall I do unto thee, O Jacob? Thou, Judah, wouldst not obey me. I will turn me to other, or I turn myself to other nations, and unto those will I give my name, that they may keep my statutes." So
he's threatening to disown them.
Right.
Yeah.
And guess who's going to be disowned today?
You could misinterpret this here, that salvation becomes universal if you misinterpreted these words.
Yeah.
He's clearly not saying that, and many verses would bear that out.
Yeah. Well, he's reading them the Riot Act is what he's doing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he's trying to scare them. Oh, no, no, please don't abandon us. Oh, please, Father, don't. Oh, no, no. We repent. Yeah. How many times have we repented?
Right. Well, if you, Israel, don't obey me, I will find another nation that will. So, what's your answer? Right?
Yeah, my way or the highway, boys. Yeah,
right. Unfortunately, the Judeo churches have taken the highway. They have totally taken the highway.
Well,
and so they're just as bad as these ancient disobedient Israelites. They're no different.
Well, they're following along in the Jewish deception that they have been indoctrinated in, that they are the true church, quote unquote. They are not. The same way the Jews are deceivers saying that they are Israel when they are not.
They are not the ecclesia.
You wrote a book called The Great Impersonation about that, did you not?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
How the Jews impersonate Israel and how the churches today impersonate Israel too. Right? The Judeo churches are not Israel, and they cannot be a substitute for Israel.
They're not teaching to keep the feast. They're not teaching to keep the fast. They're not teaching not to eat pork.
Yeah.
They're not teaching not to be a faggot or mixed race or to do anything else. Everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
Bring your wallet. You're welcome.
Right. Jesus died to save everyone, Steve, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, he has a use for all those Negroes.
We're all red. We all bleed red on the inside, don't we, brother?
Road repair and Brillo pads.
Right. No. So, since the book was written to Israel, and we are the called out ones of Israel, that we are keeping these traditions alive, and no one else in the world is.
Period. We are the ecclesia.
Yeah, right. And the ecclesia, but Israel.
We are the set-apart people, as it says in the Old Testament. Right.
And we are supposed to be a light unto the nations by projecting our obedience, demonstrating our obedience, not what the churches are doing today. Okay. All right. Well, we're just about out of time, folks. So I hope you've enjoyed episode one of 2 Esdras chapter 1. We'll be here with more next week. And you'll see how racially exclusive the book of Esdras is as we go through it. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you all next time.
Amen, brothers. Yahweh
Shalom
bless.
Shalom aleichem.